It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. The email address is anything@kera.org, and that's where we get these to start off this week's show. And speaking of this week's show, we're going to go a little long today because President-elect Barack Obama is scheduled his very first news conference as the president-elect for, let's see, I think it starts at 2:30 Eastern time, but NPR is beginning their coverage at 2:20 Eastern time. That's 1:20 here, folks. So we will extend the show a little extra today, thanks to the president-elect and his schedule. So lots of time for your questions and answers at 800-933-5372. Lots of time for you to email us anything@kera.org. And that's what Liza did. Liza asks, why is Texas a non-union right-to-work state, and how can this be changed, starting at the local level up? Robert writes and asks, regarding the aircraft that pull banners behind them, do they take off with the banner already out, or are they unfurled mid-air? Sam, who's writing us from Duluth, Minnesota, says he loves the show. Feel free to expand up to Duluth anytime. Of course, you're listening to us online, Sam, so in a sense, we already have. Sam wants to know, how did piggy banks come to be, and why are they shaped like pigs? It's a great question. Never had that one, I don't think. Denny in Dallas asks, does anyone know why Channel 4 traffic reporter Chip Wagoner does not fly and do the traffic from the copter anymore? Is it a cost-saving thing? And let's see, from Michael in Plano, who wants you to settle a winter is coming question. Michael asks, if someone uses a space heater to heat up a bathroom and the closet door, I guess, in the bathroom is wide open, does it lessen the efficiency and or therefore waste electricity? And from Roland in Bedford, Roland asks, why in the jazz genre, why do they name all the members of the band when a jazz number is played? He says no other music genre does this for the most part. Does anybody know why? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us, anything@kera.org. Let's get started with Robert in Dallas. Hello, Robert.
Hello. Well, there may be... Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
There may be more than one way to do it, but I have seen banner-towing airplanes build up speed, and just after they've left the ground, they snag the banner. And jerk it off, probably because it would entail too much drag or whatever,
right,
to get it off. Of course,
might be dangerous to unfurl it in midair as well.
Could be.
But it seems like if you're grabbing it while you're already flying, that's okay. All right, very good.
Well, you remember about 3 weeks ago, somebody asked about the expression three sheets to the wind, and you got this book out with this. Well, I have to make a correction, if you will let me.
Okay, yeah.
A sheet was a line or rope that held the corner of the sail in the early days of sailing.
Right.
There remains a knot called a sheet bend, which has nothing to do with canvas. It's just rope.
Okay.
And if, as I say, a rope held each corner of a four-cornered sail, and if three sheets were in the wind, the sail was incontrollable.
You're in trouble.
Uncontrollable.
Yeah, you're right, because I remember from the very, very limited sailing experience I got, I believe, on Possum Kingdom Lake as a child, the sheet was the rope that was connected to the boom and the sail.
Well, that's it, and thank you for letting me put
you
that
bet. Out. You bet. Robert, thanks so much for calling.
Okay.
All right. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Jim in Dallas. Hello, Jim.
Hello there.
Yes.
With banner, what they do is you take off, and then the banner has got a cable on it, and you suspend it between two poles, and then the banner plane will fly around in a circle, and it'll come back, and they'll dive down and hook that cable and lift and fly it around again. And when you're banner towing, that's the scariest time, is when you pick up that cable.
I'll bet.
And pull it. You stretch your banner out on the ground and snatch it up off the ground. And then you drop it off the same way. You fly back to the same area, get right over where you're going, and you cut it loose. And you go around and pick up the next one.
Very good. Thanks,
and
Jim.
That way you never have to land to pick up a banner.
Sounds incredible, and I'm going to have to scour YouTube to see if I can see some footage of this.
That's pretty cool. It's kind of like an aircraft landing.
Right. Well, thanks, Jim. And just to put a lid on that one, from Richard in Dallas, who says, back in the 80s, I took soaring lessons at Aero Country near Allen. He says they would string the tow cable for the banner between two tall poles, and the airplane would snag it with a hook while flying low over the airport. He says, I never saw them retrieve a banner, but I believe that they flew low and dropped it over the runway. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Regarding the right-to-work state, we got an answer from Judy via email, who says the caller should first have an understanding of unions and the concept of right to work. With the advent of many unions in the 20s and 30s of the last century, the goal was to have all employees become members of the union for safety and numbers reasons, etc. As time has passed, unions have become weaker and employers often encourage their dissolution. The right to work concept appears to follow the idea that if I can do the job as well as you and I'm willing to take less money, not at the union scale, then why should I not be allowed to do the job? She says right to work has long been viewed as a union busting technique. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Amanda in Fort Worth. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Jeff. How are you today?
Doing well.
Well, my question is, in Russia, what is the role of the prime minister versus the president? I guess maybe one is the head of state and one is the head of government. Is it kind of like other nations where they have a prime minister and maybe a monarch or a president? So I just don't know what the difference is.
Well, we'll ask. I would venture to say that it's evolving.
Yeah.
as we speak with Medvedev and Putin. I think that those roles might be changing, even as we speak right now. But we'll see if someone has a suggestion. I'm sure that we'll get an answer for you.
I believe we will. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Amanda.
Bye. 800-933-5372.
Open lines there. Email, of course, always open. And that's where we got this from Pierce, who says, all along Central Expressway, the exit and entrance ramps are lined with what appears to be structural support pillars, which are about 10 to 12 feet tall. Does anyone know what these are for? I'm curious if they were included for future expansion, like the double-decker stretch of I-35 that runs through Austin. I've wondered that as well, Pierce, and I just got used to it and stopped wondering, but you've called the right place. Call us, 800-933-5372. I guess I should say you've emailed the right place. Let's see. Thomas in Dallas has a question. I have a person who provides care for my child during the week. I pay him cash. Neither he nor I report this to the government during tax time. Are we both breaking the law? Does one person have more culpability than the other in this situation? If I'm employing him or her, what are my legal responsibilities? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Bishola in Hearst. Hello, Bishola.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Doing fine.
I have a question. You know, the winter time, when I open metal doors, if I touch my car or if I open a door, there's a lot of static,
mm-hmm.
and it hurts. Is there any way to either prevent that or minimize it?
So you're in the car, you've been driving, you reach to open it, and as you get out, you get shocked by the metal part of your door.
Or if I open, like, a gas station door.
Right.
Door that has metal.
Well, we'll ask and see if we can get a suggestion for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. And Phil in Frisco sent us this earlier in the week. In regards to the Skylink train at DFW Airport, Phil writes, the front Skylink car has a small windshield wiper on the lower right side of the windshield of the car. He says, what is this for? I take it the Skylink train, and I'm looking to see in the control room if anyone nods an affirmation on this. I take it the Skylink train doesn't have a driver or a conductor or anything at DFW. It's just automatic. I'm guessing it's the automatic train. So why would it have a little windshield wiper on the lower right side of the windshield of the front car? Great question. Hopefully we can get an answer at anything at kera.org or the phone, 800-933-5372. Brian has emailed us and writes, I regularly watch Morning Joe on MSNBC, and every Thursday they have on Richard Stengel, Time's managing editor, to discuss the new issue of Time magazine. He says, however, the MSNBC.com website contains numerous links to Newsweek magazine, which is Time's chief competitor, but none to Time magazine. Ryan asks, can anyone clarify the relationship between these three entities? I guess MSNBC, Newsweek magazine, and Time magazine. Let's see. John in Arlington asks, when Obama is president, the Democrats will have both a majority in the House and Senate and control of the White House. The Republicans did the same in 2000. So one can speak of a half flip from 2000 to 2008. Has occurred. So when was the shortest time between a half flip or full flip from party one to party two and then back to party one? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Julie in Denton. Hello, Julie.
Hi. I'm calling about the jazz question that was on before.
Okay.
About why there's multiple, why they announce all the names of the people that are playing. And the reason is because a lot of jazz musicians don't actually play consistently with the same people time after time again.
Right.
And the reason for that is because jazz is the only type of music that's founded on the idea of improvisation. So it's not just the matter of learning a song one particular way. It's the ability to adapt to the way that different musicians like to play it. So that's why they pick up different people and play things differently, and they feel the need to give credit to those people every time that they play.
Great. Julie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Harold in Garland. Hello, Harold.
Hi. My question is, where did we get the idea that there was such a thing as witches?
Where did it originate?
Yes.
You know, I think it obviously has some roots in our, I guess, literature or culture, in England, I would guess. But let's ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Harold. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Carl in Denton writes about the sheet bend. Your caller talking about sailing mentioned the sheet bend knot and stated that it's a rope knot. Actually, Carl says, the origin of the knot is in sailing and was used to tie to the corner of a sail that has lost its grommet or other attachment. Thank you very much for that, Carl. Let's see. John in Washington, D.C. has written us an answer about negotiation training. This is a question we had last week. And John says, most U.S. diplomats and many non-U.S. diplomats receive their first formal negotiation training as part of their law school, business school, or as an international affairs graduate degree curriculum. John says, I'm a student at George Washington University, and our Elliott School of International Affairs is literally across the street from the State Department in Foggy Bottom. He says, State has their own very rigorous program of study for candidates for candidate officers in the Foreign Service. He says, my friends going through the school don't reveal much about their training other than it leaves them exhausted at the end of the day. He says, they're different people after they graduate. He says, at George Washington, I've occasionally made the mistake of unpacking my books, papers, and other study materials in a law library conference room without knowing that all of the law library conference rooms have been reserved every weekend by three sections of Negotiations 1. He says, recently, two young women entered a conference room in which I was studying, immediately demanded that I leave, and then without skipping a beat, turned to resume a very intense discussion between themselves, this time louder and from opposite sides of the table. He says, frankly, I was too intimidated to try to negotiate with either of them. He says, so, in answer to Bruce's question about negotiation training, full semester courses at law schools, business schools, and postgraduate programs in international affairs are the places to receive the same negotiation training as U.S. and non-U.S. diplomats. Thanks very much, John, for that. Let's talk next at 800-933-5372. Actually, not doing very well with clock management. Grant, hold on. We're going to come back to you as soon as the break is over. You can call us at 800-933-5372. You can email us anything at kera.org. We'll be right back. From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, you're listening to Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jeff Whittington. The phone number, 800-933-5372. If you have trouble getting through, you can email us your questions and answers this hour and a little bit of next at anything@kera.org. And I mention that because we're going to bring you live anchored NPR coverage of President-elect Barack Obama's first press conference. Begins at 1:30 here our time, Central Time. Actually, NPR is going to take over the signal at 1:20. So you you get an extra 15 minutes or so of anything you ever wanted to know. So lots of time today to take your questions and try to get them answered. And up next, very patiently holding, is Grant in Dallas. Hello, Grant.
Hi, Jeff. I have a question, and in the interim, I have a brief answer for a question.
Okay.
The question is, I live on a second of three floors, and in the construction of the condos, they did not put a vented hood over the stove.
Right.
Well, that's created complications because it would set off the smoke alarm. And I was wondering if there's any way you can go back and either retrofit or if there's anybody that's coped with not having one.
Okay.
And the answer that I have, it's a possible solution for the caller that would get shocked either on touching the car door or like at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if they were able to get like a small piece of wood and maybe drill a hole on it and put a keychain and grab a hold of that before they were either to grab hold of the car door or the gas, that would be able to ground them so that would disperse that shock before they opened the door or the gas cap.
Well, it's probably worth a shot to try at least.
Yeah.
And we'll see if we get an answer for your question as well.
Okay, thank you so much for being there.
You bet, Grant. Thanks a lot.
Have a good day.
All right, you too.
All right.
Up next, 800-933-5372 is Daryl in Cleburne. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, how are you?
Doing fine.
I have an answer for you about the static electricity.
Yeah, on the car.
Well, the thing is that what you try to do is to disperse the shock so that it doesn't hurt you as much. And mm-hmm. one good way to do that is to hold a metal object like a key in your hand and let the tip of the key touch the object which would discharge. And thereby, you don't feel it. You still get the spark, but you don't feel it because you are dispersing it over a large flat area of a metal object touching your hand. So basically, just hold a key in your hand, reach out, and let the tip of the key touch whatever it is that will ground, and you'll see the spark, but you won't feel the shock.
Very good. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at KERA.org. Last week, we had a question about where to get raw peanuts, and CW corrects. One answer we got was the Nut Vending Company in Fort Worth. He says it's actually called the Vending Nut Company. Very good. Let's see. Kyle at the Dallas Opera has an answer to the why the R is added to the end of some words when they're spoken by a person with a British accent. He says, I'm an Anglophile and an opera singer, and here's an answer to the question on why an R is added to the end of a word. He says, the R is most often added in British speech when one word ends in a vowel and the next one begins with another vowel. I says, example one, in the version of Pride and Prejudice starring Colin Firth and Jennifer L., the Caroline Bingley character says, Louisa and I were just talking. He says, another example, from Phantom of the Opera, sung by British singer Sarah Brightman, Sarah's character Christine sings, the Phantom of the Opera is there inside my mind. He says, as you can observe, all the extra R's are thrown in when one word ends in the vowel, and the next one starts with a vowel. One should be careful not to throw in a vowel at every opportunity, and in no instance should a prolonged or guttural American R be used. It is a lighter British R. He says, I've noticed that the British also throw in an R to the end of many proper names, such as Lady Diana and Russia and America. He says, I think the rule applies mostly to Russian names. If I'm not mistaken, the Boston dialect also throws in many extra R sounds, but then their ancestors are British, and so it shouldn't come as too big of a surprise that this language trait would survive in some parts of the country. He says, I sometimes hear click and clack throw in an extra R on car talk. Thanks very much for that, Kyle. Robert has written us about the earthquake that happened a week and a half ago, and there was the question, what's the biggest earthquake or the most recent earthquake? He says there's no name for the small fault line that runs from Euless to Grand Prairie, as it is so insignificant. He says Balcones is the name of the plate, not the fault. He says this is according to the USGS. He says the largest recorded earthquake in Texas was January 8th, 1891, at Rusk near Palestine. He says it was a 7.0 on the magnitude on the Richter scale. He says the closest earthquake was September 18th, 1985, in Pilot Point near Denton. And I'm sorry, that was Palestine before everybody calls. Near Denton, it was a 3.3 magnitude earthquake. And let's see, the most recent, September 15th, 2007, Milano, Texas, near Bryant, was a 2.7. And April 7th, 2008, Falls City, Texas, near San Antonio, 3.7. Thanks very much for all of that, Robert. And we also have one question that we got an answer to also about the traffic cameras and where you can view the data. Ed in Dallas says some of the traffic cam data can be viewed at Daltrans, Daltrans.org, by enabling cameras on the menu that pops out from the left of the map and then clicking on one of the camera symbols on the map. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. Let's talk next to a very patient Alicia in Mansfield. Hello, Alicia.
Hey, I had an answer for you about the daycare question or the babysitter question.
Okay.
So she said neither one of them are paying taxes. There's a pretty long, involved answer I can give you. I'll try to be as brief as possible. The person who's receiving the money who's not paying taxes, I mean, they're culpable on their own part that
right.
they need to report all money to the IRS that they earn.
Yeah, it's a self it's a self-employment thing.
Right, right. So on the other hand, if this person is your babysitter in your house, so anytime you have a household employee, whether it's a cook or your nanny or whatever, a babysitter, there's something commonly called the nanny tax, and that says if you pay that person $1,500 a year, you have to pay their Medicare and Social Security taxes. You don't
okay.
have to withhold taxes if you don't want to.
You just
you have to pay Medicare and Social Security.
You can just pay it sort of in addition to what you pay them, I guess.
Correct.
Great.
Just like any employer, there's just a special rule for household employers.
Very good. Thanks very much,
yeah.
Alicia.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Bye.
And let's see, from the email inbox, anything at KERA.org, Jamie in Denton writes with a shocking answer, keep a metal key in your hand, and before touching the car or a door or anyone, touch them with the key first. Jamie says this will discharge the electricity harmlessly from your body and into the metal of the door or car. So that's a definitive answer on getting shocked, getting out of the car. We had a question last week about the New Harmony community in Indiana, and what was it? And Bridget in Arlington wrote us and says, the New Harmony was an Owenite socialist community in New Harmony, Indiana, from 1825 to 1828. Let's see, Rorlick and Baruch and Lawrence Foster write about it, and others like the Shakers, Oneidas, etc., the Oneida community, rather. There are also some fictions of the community that have not been republished that Carol Kessler discusses in the book Daring to Dream. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Elle in Fort Worth. Hello, Elle.
Hi. I have a traffic question
okay.
and also an alert. If anybody is near Northeast Mall on 820, there's a huge wreck there, so try to avoid that.
Okay.
My question is, and it might just be me, but there seems to be an inordinate amount of people running into houses. And I was wondering if anybody out there knew if there was, you know, some, is it a driving issue or all the building that's been going on lately that they're in the way? Or, I don't know. But
you, mean people driving their cars into houses?
Yeah, like through the houses.
Right.
And I just was wondering if that was, if it was just me noticing that or if other people have noticed that
okay.
a lot more people are doing that these days.
We'll ask and see if we get a response for you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
800-933-5372. Email address anything at kera.org. And let's see, George, who calls himself the self-proclaimed hot dog king, wants to know if there's a meat handler in the North Texas area that produces or makes all beef or beef and pork hot dogs, preferably with a natural casing. Let's see. This is from John in Rockwall, who writes, my house backs up to a green belt, and the leaves from five or six different types of trees fell into the swimming pool at about the same time due to the recent cool front and high winds. Within an hour or so, some leaves had sunk to the bottom, while others continued to float. All the leaves had landed in the water at about the same time, and at least some of all the different types had both sunk and continued to float. What would cause this? Is there anything I can add to the water that will cause all the leaves to float long enough to be removed by the skimmer and a net? Call us if you have an answer, or you can email us. 800-933-5372 is the phone number, the email address, anything at kera.org. And up next is Benjamin in Fort Worth. Hello, Benjamin.
Hi. You may have had this question before, but I'll go ahead and ask it anyway.
Okay.
I'm curious to know, why is it when you're about to sneeze, if you stick your finger right in front of your nose, usually you can stop yourself from sneezing?
I've also heard the suggestion that you press your tongue up against the palate, you know, inside your mouth, like the rear part of the roof of your mouth, that it will also help Maybe it has something to do with the pressure and the nerves. I have no idea.
I don't either.
But we will ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Great. Thanks so much.
You bet. Line open, 800-933-5372. Up next is Julie in Dallas. Hello, Julie.
Hi there.
Go right ahead.
Hi. I have been wondering something I've always wanted to know about, you know, in Dallas, there's just always thought of, or I have anyway, in Texas, that it's big and open and wide open spaces. Mm-hmm. But when you are trying to get a house, it seems that all of the houses have zero lot lines, or most of them. In Dallas,
the newer houses do.
Yeah. And even, you know, some that were built in the 80s or not that that's old. But
right.
So I was just wondering if there's any reason other than builders wanting to put as many houses as they can on one piece of land, if there's some reason why everything is so crammed together.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think it is a trend in the last, 30 years or so.
Yeah.
To put the biggest house, you know, because the lots, I think the lots are, and I'm not obviously an expert on this
yeah.
or anything really, but the lots are sort of designated or maybe were designated a long time ago. And
like
I don't know what the process is to get a bigger lot out of, you know, several lots.
Seems like there should be some minimum where, you could be cooking dinner and see your neighbors. I mean, they're right there.
Well, we'll ask.
Wondering.
We'll ask and see if someone has an opinion on that. I know that has been the trend, though, especially in the East Dallas area where where I run around.
Mm-hmm.
All the new homes are pretty close,
crammed together.
Yeah. But we'll see if we have can get an answer for you.
All right, thank you.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Jeffrey in Flower Mound. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. I have an answer to your question of where do witches come from, though I'm not sure exactly what your person was asking, so I'm going to give two answers. First answer is that anthropologists recognize witchcraft as a cross-cultural phenomenon. In virtually all pre-modern cultures, the mm-hmm. belief that spiritual forces cause illness and misfortune brought about a class of people in most cultures, either a shaman, a witch doctor, or a sorcerer whose job it was to treat the effects of witchcraft. And the origins of the witchcraft would thereby be a witch who is usually a kind of negative sorcerer who is usually operating in secret and is hidden somewhere within the culture or society, an enemy, a rival, or someone who is trying to strike out at the afflicted person. So the idea that there are people plotting against us and using spiritual forces to attack us is really the origin of the witch. Now, what he might be asking is where does the image of the witch, the caricature we see all the time, come from? And that image, the hook-nosed old woman in black with the pointed hat,
right.
actually is based in the medieval image of the Jew. Jews were required to wear special hats, usually pointed, though they could be of other forms.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the long hook nose is a longtime Jewish caricature. And from very early on in Greco-Roman culture, Jews were closely associated with sorcery, and usually in the practice of healing sorcery, but in the Middle Ages, that took on a very malignant tone in the idea that Jews were allies of Satan and working on behalf of demonic and nefarious forces. And so the image of the Jew came merged with the image of the witch, and that's how we get the modern caricature of a witch.
Well, thanks for that, Jeffrey. I mean, it's obviously an unfortunate association, but part of the cultural, sort of the cultural background of the
that is indeed part of our cultural inheritance.
And you know, just while I've got you on the line, I want to mention too, we got an email from Alan, which is in Dallas, who says if anyone's interested in the origin of witches, Alan recommends the documentary Haxen, Haxen.
Mm-hmm.
In 1922, he says, Norwegian filmmaker Benjamin Christensen wrote, produced, and directed and starred in one of the earliest documentaries ever made. And I guess it must have something to do with witchcraft.
And indeed, if you talk to Richard Golden at the University of North Texas, he has published a four-volume encyclopedia called The Encyclopedia of Witchcraft, The Western Tradition. And he actually, from an academic point of view, is one of the DFW area's great experts on the subject of witchcraft in Western society.
Very good. Well, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.
All right. 800-933-5372. Line open there. Email always open at anything@kera.org. And that's where we got this from Richard in Grand Prairie, who says, I've been living in Texas since 1997, and I've noticed that people will sometimes come to a stop when a funeral procession passes. He says, I've witnessed a serious accident in East Texas on Highway 69 when someone stopped, and I was almost involved in an accident on westbound I-20 when traffic stopped for an eastbound procession. Why do people stop? Is this an unwritten law in Texas? I know it's a tradition. It's a sign of respect. I don't know if it's a law on the books, and I don't know if people do it elsewhere in the country. Maybe not. Call us. Someone is bound to know. Let's talk next to Terry in Dallas. Hello, Terry.
Yes.
Yes, go right ahead.
I was calling to suggest a possible solution for the lady that was getting shot getting in and out of her car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a mechanic. I work on buses. And the way they handle it on a bus is they attach a thin strip of rubber to the frame, and it drags across the ground and dissipates the static. So that may be a economical solution instead of scratching up her her car door with the keys every time she gets in and out.
Is this something that you can get at the auto parts store and that they make for this purpose, or you have to kind of engineer it yourself?
You know, it's part of the manufacturing of the bus, but I imagine any thin strip of rubber that you can find laying around would probably work. And you just attach it to the frame, and, it just dissipates the static as you're driving down the road.
Very good. Well, thanks for the suggestion.
All right. Thank you.
And let's get one more on this one from Kitty in Rowlett. Hello, Kitty.
Hello. Yes, I had a suggestion about the static also. And this is sort of a simple one, but my car used to have that. And so I just go up and turn around and let my backside take the shock because I couldn't fit it. And it's okay. Sort of like giving a little hello car.
Right. Very.
So anyway, that's what I do. It was very cheap.
Very good. Very good, Kitty. Thanks very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
It is anything you ever wanted to know. The phone number, 800-933-5372. The email address, anything@kera.org. We'll be right back. From KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth, Denton, it's anything you ever wanted to know. I'm Jeff Whittington. The telephone number is 800-933-5372. And the email address, of course, anything@kera.org. We're actually going to go till 1:20 today, a little bit longer show, because NPR is going to bring us live anchored coverage of President-elect Barack Obama's first press conference. That's going to start at 1:30 here in the central time zone, but NPR is going to pick up and take over the signal at 1:20. So we're going to go a little extra today, so you can thank the President-elect for bringing you a little bit more anything you ever wanted to know today. And let's talk next at 800-933-5372. That's where we find David in Mesquite. Hello, David.
Hello, Jeff. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I got possibly two answers. First, the question earlier in your program about the trams at DFW and the windshield wipers.
Yes.
Probably my best guess. I've never seen them, but what makes sense to me is they probably have a camera there where one of the operators or the dispatchers from the operations center, if he needed to take control of the train, he could see where he was going.
Makes sense.
And the reason why they have it back behind the glass is he put the camera out there in the elements, and they would easily get covered up with gum, crud, and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So they keep it back there.
Yeah, and the email that we got wasn't real specific, but it said it was a tiny little windshield wiper,
right,
down in the
right
corner. So it just cleans that part of the camera. That makes perfect sense.
Absolutely. The other one about the zoning laws with houses in the Dallas area.
Yeah.
You were absolutely right. Mostly, in the inside of like Dallas, Mesquite, in the suburbs, you're going to have the zero lot lines. But there are some suburbs that do have ordinances that call for larger lots. I know that Sunnyvale, for one, and I'm pretty sure they still do. But for years and years, it used to be that any house built there had to be on a minimum of 1 acre of land. If you go out to Forney, you'll see that there's a lot of housing developments out there that are at least on a half acre to a 1 acre land, and they advertise that.
Right.
But
okay.
Most Garland, Richardson, Mesquite, Dallas, they're still, because they're so, they don't have a lot of land that is developable again, so they're going to cram as many houses in there as they can get. And it also makes sense from a tax point of view that they can get more tax revenue that way.
Sure. And they want to cram as much house as they can on the lots that currently exist.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sure. Great. Well, hey, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. That's where we find Mark in Denton. Hello, Mark.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
In Louisville, along I-35, just south of Lake Louisville,
mm-hmm.
are some railroad cars parked up on a railroad track. They've been there for, you know, a year, or maybe a little bit more than a year, and I would love to know what that's about.
Hmm. So it's in Louisville, just mm-hmm. south of the lake.
They're pretty well. Last year they looked very new, and now they have a lot of graffiti on them.
Okay,
I just want to know what that's about.
All right, well, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Great, thanks.
All right, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Bill in Natchitoches, Louisiana, writes and says, "As long as I remember, which is about 50 odd years here in Louisiana, we stop for funerals." He says, "Once I didn't while my dad was in the car, and he was really upset that I would be so rude to not pay my respects to whomever had passed away. But as far as I know," Bill says, "it's not a law. But I always pull over, just in case Dad is watching," he says. He says, "And yes, I listen online, not to the broadcast." He says, "I used to live there in Texas, in the Fort Worth area, and it's nice to keep in touch." Well, Bill, it's great to hear from you on the show as well. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Carrie in Rowlett. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Well, I love your show, and I have comment about that zero lot line question.
Okay.
I've lived here for a long time, and I've always had a house on a great big gigantic lot. And I'm telling you, the next time I buy a house, it's going to be zero, because it costs a lot to water all that grass, and it costs a lot to have somebody mow it. And that's my personal opinion. I think it's a good idea to have zero.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't know if it's really true, but that's my opinion.
Very good. Well, thanks very much for your call. You too.
Thanks.
And let's see if we get one more on this from Maggie in Fort Worth. Hello, Maggie.
Hello. Over here in southwest Fort Worth, there's a little enclave called Edgecliff Village,
mm-hmm.
and I watched and participated over several years as we watched developers come in and try to purchase a couple of hundred acres of land. The consistent pattern was that their profit margin was much larger with small lots, because they buy the land, they do the planned development, and then they sell the lots to the builders who from there go on and market the houses and the lots together.
Right.
But it was very clear that the more lots they could cram on the property, the more profit they made from those builders. Because if you have a half-acre lot and a two-tenths of an acre lot, the half-acre lot doesn't bring in two-thirds as much. I'm not doing the math precisely, but
right.
you proportionately don't get that much more profit. They get it on the number, not on the size.
Very good.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
And I know that we'll probably get an email or maybe another call about the conservation district process. And I know that one of the first steps in areas and neighborhoods in Dallas that I'm familiar with is to get an overlay established. And that does limit, you know, setbacks or setbacks from the lot line of new construction and height restrictions. We could probably get a couple more answers on that one. Let's talk next, though, to Ashley in Dallas. Hello, Ashley.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for hosting my favorite NPR show.
Hey, you bet.
I have an answer. I'm sure it's not definitive, but sharing some personal experience regarding the funeral processions. I've lived in five different states and one foreign country, and I have observed that tradition in all of them. With the majority of people, it seemed, in the area, whenever a funeral procession went by, pulling over to show their respects.
Okay. Well, and I thought that was the case, too. But we'll still hold out and see if we can get a definitive is-it-on-the-books-or-not answer.
Thank you.
But thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. And let's see. Lots of answers. Let's see. Grant in Oak Cliff says, "I believe that Rudolph's in Deep Ellum has natural casing all-beef hot dogs. Kubi's in Snyder Plaza would also be a good place to look for those." And speaking of Deep Ellum, we got a question from Katie, who wants to know, why is Deep Ellum called Deep Ellum? Well, it's a slang term, I think, from what I will refer to as sort of the blues age, the early part of the 20th century. And someone please call in at 800-933-5372 and give us a definitive answer on this. But Elm Street, it's far Elm Street. It's far east Elm Street. And I think that it just got the term Deep Ellum sort of applied as a slang term, but it has to do with Elm Street. I know there are songs, Deep Ellum Blues, et cetera, but someone in Deep Ellum is dialing 800-933-5372 right now to give us the definitive answer. Bryant and Garland has emailed us at anything@kera.org wanting to know, what flavor is bubblegum? He says there's a flavor called bubblegum, but what flavors make up the flavor bubblegum? Hmm. And Clay says, my name is Clay, and I have a parakeet named Rocket. And my question is, how do I train him to sit on my finger? Clay says, I'm 10 years and 9 months old, and I would like to know how to train my parakeet to sit on my finger. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything@kera.org. Let's talk next to Jimmy in Dallas. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We're doing well.
Okay, I was wanting to know, now if the president-elect is 47 years old, you know, and it used to pay, the job used to pay $600,000 a year, I was wondering what it's up to today.
What is the current presidential salary as it stands right now?
Yeah, I'll take it off.
Okay.
Here.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. So we'll have to see if we get somebody to call in or email us. I'm sure someone can find that really quickly. Marie has emailed us in response to the question about piggy banks. Marie says, I read several books by Lisa C. in the last few weeks, and in one of them, she says that in rural China of earlier times, farmers would tally up their gains and losses at the end of the productive year. If a family was lucky enough to have sufficient produce and animals to keep the family going for the coming year, and if they had an extra pig they could afford to sell, they would then put that earned money into a container for use during the coming year. Of course, pigs were a great asset in China because they were small enough not to be an overwhelming expense, and the sale of the extra pig would, by extension, also explain the pig-shaped bank. Curtis in Plano has an answer to the leaves in the pool question. Curtis writes, the main reason some leaves float and some sink is related to surface tension of the water. If a leaf floats onto the water lightly, it won't always break the surface tension. If the leaf is more vertical when it lands, it breaks the surface tension and sinks. It says, of course, if the leaf is less dense and waxy or doesn't soak up water, it will float. And let's see. This is an answer to the President Prime Minister question. Well, the answer to this question, to know the answer to this question, let's see, who is sending this? Kirbel says, to know the answer of this question, you need to know what kind of government system they follow in Russia. The president has no power, but it's just a symbol, and the prime minister is the head of the government and has full power. And let's see, we have one more answer to the right-to-work, anti-union right-to-work state. And this is from Ben. He says he reads too much in Fort Worth. He says, Texas was a secessionist slave-owning state when Abraham Lincoln was elected president. Our political leaders at the time voted to fight with the Confederacy instead of remaining neutral or sending troops to put down the rebellion. Following the Civil War, Ben continues, some of the freed slaves became sharecroppers, also known as tenant farmers. They would get credit from the landowner to farm their rented fields and pay the landlord a percentage of their harvest. The landlord set the price, provided credit, kept track of debt payments to a largely illiterate workforce. Jim Crow laws reversed political gains awarded freed slaves, so we were back to a system little better than what preceded it. In a nutshell, why would the landowners, industrialists, and financiers in the early 20th century allow labor unions to get a foothold? They were used to having a powerless, low-paid workforce, which included not only the descendants of slaves, but also working-class whites and Texans with Spanish surnames. The Texas legislature passed the right-to-work laws sometime in the first half of the 20th century. 800-933-5372. Normally here I would say we can squeeze in a couple more calls, but we're going long today. We're going to finish up the hour and then have a newscast from NPR, and then we're going to come back and do another segment as we wait for NPR special coverage of the president-elect's first press conference. That's going to start at 1:20. So hang in there. If you're on the phone on hold right now and we don't get to you in the next few minutes, please hold on through the news because we're going to come right back a few minutes after 1 o'clock and do another segment of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. But right now, let's talk to Rose in Garland. Hello, Rose.
Hi. I'm calling from Garland, Texas.
Okay.
And I just wanted to know if there are employers out there. My dad is a CIA-certified 5 years experience internal auditor. So I just wanted to know if there were any positions out there for him.
So you're looking for someone who is a CI-certified internal auditor?
No, an employer for my dad. He is the CIA internal auditor.
Right, you're looking for employment for someone who has that certification.
Yes.
And what's the best place to look?
Dallas area.
Okay, well, we'll ask.
All right, thank you.
Let's talk next to John in Fort Worth. Hello, John.
Hey, I've got an answer for your pressure point under the nose to stop you from sneaking.
Yeah.
The little dish under your nose, above your top lip, you'll press there. It is a nerve pressure point, and it will stop the urge to sneeze. But it usually comes back very quickly when you take your finger away.
And it's just a nerve pressure point thing. That's all we know.
Nerve pressure point, but it will instantly, if you catch it early, it'll just stop that sensation of needing to sneeze.
Hmm.
It'll just go away.
I'll have to remember
to. Quite often comes right back.
I'll have to remember to try it next time.
And on the grounding your car,
yeah.
The gentleman said a rubber strip, but I don't know how well you could ground something with rubber. A metal band is connected underneath your propane trucks and your buses.
Right.
That touches the ground that discharges their static tray, not rubber.
Maybe it's a rubber, like a rubber strip that has like a piece of wire in it.
That would work.
Because it seems like a piece of metal, you know, if it was a rigid piece of metal, it wouldn't be so successful at backing up and pulling forward and et cetera if it's hanging down there.
Yeah, but it has to have some metal for the conductivity to.
That's a great point.
All right.
Thanks,
John.
Thank you
so much. I enjoy your show.
You bet. Thanks for calling. Line open 800-933-5372. Email, of course, anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Sharon in Dallas. Hello, Sharon. Yes, Sharon, could you turn your radio down?
Certainly. Turn the radio down, David.
Because you're hearing us 12 seconds ago with your radio up. There you go. What's your question? What's your question?
At the south end of the tollway near Wycliffe, since they've been doing all that construction there, we've noticed that there are structures going across the top of it near the end, metal structures, and they're like canted at an angle, and they're south of where the cameras are, and we've been trying to figure out if it's an architectural element or if it's really something that functions there.
It's kind of where the old toll booths used to be.
Used to be, yes.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's a great question. You just want to know, is it a design thing or does it have a function?
Yes.
Well, you've called the right place, and actually we're going long today, so maybe we'll get an answer.
That would be lovely, and we love your show.
Hey, thanks very much, Sharon.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Of course, you're listening to Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on your source for NPR News, KERA 90.1, Dallas-Fort Worth-Denton. Also, K261 CW 100.1 in Tyler, K202 DR 88.3 in Wichita Falls, and good old K257 EV 99.3 in Sherman. Let's talk next to Suzanne in Dallas. Hello, Suzanne.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. Well, I heard from some musicians that this is about the Deep Ellum answer.
Sure.
And you were right. The blues singers and the blues musicians, a lot of them were African American, and just the dialect, the Elm became Ellum.
And because it was so far east of downtown, I mean, if you think about the 20s and 30s, where Fair Park is today, that was a long way from downtown.
Right, exactly.
When the city was really small. So, Deep Ellum. All right, great.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Let's see if Sylvia in Dallas has a different answer. Sylvia, what do you think about that?
I concur completely with her answer. That is where it came from. My family had driving restaurants down in the Baylor area. We had a lot of clients from that area, and I concur completely with what she's saying.
Great. Well, thanks so much.
You bet. Enjoy the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Let's see, questions that we can probably still answer. Don has written us, is the AC current put out by a gasoline generator any different than that coming out of a wall socket in my house? He says, I've known people who refuse to run battery chargers from generators. He says, some of these people are electricians who probably would know. Should I be concerned about recharging my laptop battery from a gasoline-powered generator? And in regards to cars and funeral processions, let's see. This is from Marissa in Dallas, who says, where I'm from in Kansas, car stopping for a funeral procession is a common practice as a sign of respect. Marissa says, also when my uncle passed away and was buried in Colorado near Denver, car stopped there as well. Also in Colorado, People stopped along the street as well to pay respects as the hearse and family limos drove by. Well, if you have answers or questions that we still haven't gotten to, there's still time. We're going to come back after the news and do another segment of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. The phone number is 800-933-5372. The email address, anything@kera.org. And as I said, we'll be right back again after the news. It's another segment of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. The telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address is anything@kera.org. And if you're curious, no, we haven't gone to 2 hours, but we are taking NPR special coverage of President-elect Barack Obama's first press conference. That's going to begin in about 14 and a half minutes or so, and we're going to go to that at 1:20. So between now and then, we'll take more of your questions and answers. Lots of answers have come in during the news, and I've got a stack here from the email inbox, anything@kera.org, regarding the funeral procession. This is from Donise, who says, pulling over has to do with respect, but also some states have a right-of-way law for funeral processions. This law varies from state to state, so just as you would pull over to allow an ambulance to pass, you are supposed to do the same for a funeral procession if it is the law. This is not observed in the state of Texas unless the funeral procession has a police escort. Rick in Fort Worth says, regarding stopping for funerals the old-fashioned way, says, my grandmother recalled that at the funeral of my grandfather in 1952 in Texas, not only did cars pull over, but the men would step out of their cars, take off their hats, and hold their hats over their hearts out of respect. John emailed us and says, zoning ordinances require certain setbacks and maximum lot coverage. For instance, a 7,500-square-foot lot requires a maximum 45% coverage, 24-foot front setback, 3 foot at the sides, and 6 foot at the rear. There are also maximum height restrictions. It says these are available on the Dallas City Hall website. The website also has an interactive map that shows the zoning for all city lots. Let's see. Fuad writes and wants to know, how does one get tickets to the presidential inauguration ceremony, and how much are those tickets going to cost? That's a great question. And speaking of president and president-elect, Rose in Dallas says, from How Stuff Works, this is an answer to the presidential salaries. As president, currently, Bush makes $400,000 a year and gets additional money in various expense accounts. Cheney, as vice president, makes $208,100 and also has expense accounts. Rose says, in September 1999, President Clinton signed legislation that increased the presidential salary to $400,000. This was effective January of 2001. The Constitution prohibits pay increases for sitting presidents. This presidential pay raise was the first since 1969, when the president's salary was raised from $100,000 to $200,000. Adjusted for inflation, $200,000 in 1969 would be worth about $930,000 today. On top of the salary and expense accounts, both the president and vice president of the United States are given free housing with plenty of amenities. The White House has 132 rooms, 32 bathrooms, a movie theater, a bowling alley, a billiards room, a tennis court, a jogging track, and putting greens. The president also has use of Camp David, the presidential retreat, and the vice president lives in number one Observatory Circle, which has been the official vice presidential residence since 1974. 800-933-5372. Let's get a couple more questions and answers in before we go to that press conference. Let's talk to Russell in Ferris. Hello, Russell.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for the show.
Sure.
Before my question, I have a comment on Deep Ellum.
Okay.
This is just information I got from a friend who spent some time in Oklahoma City, and he said that there was an area of town there that was traditionally an old African-American area of town called Deep Deuce.
Okay.
So there's a similarity there, and that's all I know on that. But my question is, I've driven around Texas quite a bit and seen in several towns there's a Hemp Hill Street or Hemp Hill Road. Mm-hmm. Another one in Fort Worth, and there's a little town kind of down here by Ferris with a Hemp Hill Road. I'm wondering if anybody knows the origin of that.
Well, we'll ask, and if we don't get an answer in the next 10 minutes or so, we'll have one hopefully next week.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
And let's take another call on Deep Ellum from Ann in Irving. Hello, Ann. Ann, are you with us? Ann, call us back. Let's talk to Brett in Louisville. Hello, Brett.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff? Great
doing
show.
Well.
Good. Just two answers. One, both your callers were actually correct as far as that strap that hangs underneath the vehicle. It's actually made of rubber and metal. It's a resistive rubber so that the discharge goes slower and there isn't an arcing effect.
Okay, and it's got some metal embedded in it, I guess, woven into it.
Exactly, exactly. Great. And then the person asking about hooking their laptop up to a generator, it works just fine until you turn the generator off, and then you can get all kind of erratic voltages out of a generator or out of like a power inverter. So it's better to unplug everything before you turn off a generator or possibly lose gas or something like that.
Very good.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Dale in Arlington. Hello, Dale.
Hi there. Well, as far as I can find out on the internet about funerals and stopping for the procession, which is a common thing throughout the United States and even outside of the United States, if you consider Puerto Rico outside the United States.
Right.
It's not really. But anyway, most people do it just out of respect, and there's only one place, Massachusetts, that has it on the law books that I can find. And I was just digging through the Texas laws, and I can't seem to find anything about it. But a municipality can say that you can't send a funeral down a certain road.
Okay. Very good. Dale, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Let's talk next to Kate in Arlington. Hello, Kate.
Hi, Jeff. I wanted to offer a possible answer for the metal structure above the toll road at Wycliffe.
Okay.
Because that's where the toll tag toll booths used to be, and they've gone to the Easy Pay toll tag system only, I would have to assume that that's probably some kind of scanning system to scan your toll tag or your license plate when you go through so they can bill you.
Makes sense to me.
So just thought I'd suggest it.
Thanks very much.
Okay, have a good weekend.
You too. Line open 800-933-5372. Let's see. Tom writes that the support pillars that you see on Central Expressway are decorative only. If you look at the walls on the sides, there are pillars at regular intervals. On the on and off ramps, the pillars between the ramp and the highway lanes are repeated at the same intervals, continuing the wall pillar motif. Lisa at DFW says, allegedly the wipers on the Skylink trams at DFW are right by the manual operation panel. If the trams needed an operator, that's where they would sit. Regarding Chip Wagner and the Channel 4 helicopter, this is from someone who is anonymous, who says, I've been told that they are over budget at this point and that to put the helicopter in the air is not covered. But this writer says, I expect once a new budget for the up-and-coming year is worked out, Chip will be back in the air. Let's see. Bridget, who has been a member of KERA since 1993, thank you, Bridget, says, according to my husband, who paid his way through college working for the railroads back in the 70s, the cars on the railroad siding in Louisville are grain storage cars belonging to BNBX and are leased out as needed. The fact that they were not leased out this year speaks volumes about both the economy and the low harvest. They are on the sidetrack because they themselves are in storage. 800-933-5372. Again, we're going to special NPR coverage of President-elect Barack Obama's first press conference in about 5.5 minutes. The conference starts at 1:30. NPR is going to take over the signal here at 1:20 local time. So until then, we're going to take a few more of your calls and emails. And the number is 800-933-5372. That's where we find Deborah in Dallas. Hello, Deborah.
Hi. I am calling about the Deep Ellum question.
Okay.
And I read recently, and I believe it may have been The Observer, but I'm not sure, that the Ellum came from the way that Elm was pronounced by the African American community at that time. And they had difficulty pronouncing the Elm with the, and it came out Ellum, and just because of that language barrier, it became known as Deep Ellum.
Very good. I think that we've definitively answered that. Thanks for your call, Deborah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
800-933-5372. Let's talk to Kathy in Dallas. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Jeff. Referring to the funeral processionals and pulling over to the side of the road.
Yes.
It dates back to when the roads were unpaved, and the crown of the road was only wide enough for one wagon to get past. So So you would pull your wagon to the side of the road to allow the funeral procession to have the road.
So that everyone could get there on time, et cetera.
Well, I mean, just out of courtesy
and
respect.
So they could stay together and
right, and, yeah. And plus, if two wagons had to pass each other, one wheel had to pull off onto the side of the road.
Right.
Two wheels. So that's what it came from, was to allow the funeral procession and the hearse.
Sure, of course.
To have the crown of the road.
Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Right. Thank you.
800-933-5372. Let's see. This is from Christina and Sanger. And by the way, David in Plano agrees to answer the question about how to train your parakeet to sit on your finger. Let's see. Both of these emailers say if you stick your pointer finger above their feet across the belly region and gently rub, they have no choice but to step up on it. Let's see. Christina says, I've heard it's a natural reaction. If you keep alternating your pointer fingers in this manner, the bird will get used to stepping up on your finger. So good luck with that for that parakeet owner. And let's see. Andy in Mansfield wants to know an actual amount you can claim on your taxes for each piece of donated clothing that you donate to Goodwill or some other organization like it. Let's talk next to Adam in Denton. Hello, Adam.
Hi, Jeff. I have a question or an answer regarding the grounding on vehicles.
Okay.
One of the callers called in and said that rubber wouldn't do a good job, but in fact, natural rubbers are slightly conductive. All materials are conductive to electricity to a certain degree. Synthetic rubbers aren't very conductive at all, but if you have a natural rubber strip, it will be enough to conduct electricity away and prevent you from having static on your vehicle.
So, and do you know do they make this? Because no one said that you can get it or find it online or anything. Do they make this kind of thing for your car?
I assume that they make it somewhere, but where to find it, I have no idea. I'd look maybe for companies that do electrostatic discharge protection. They might have something specifically for vehicles, but I've really been exposed to it more in the industrial setting. So,
okay. Well,
as far as I'm not sure.
Maybe someone will answer that question. Where can we find one? Because it sounds great. It sounds like a cool thing to have.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your call, Adam.
Absolutely.
Let's talk next to Muhammad in Ennis. Hello, Muhammad.
Hello. How are you doing, Jeff?
Doing well.
Good. Josh, I wanted to give a different perspective on that witches question.
Oh, yes.
I'm Muslim, and, in Quran, it explains a little bit about the source of sorcery.
Yes, sir.
And where it came from. In the first chapter of Quran, it talks about it that during Solomon time, when Solomon had every genie and under his power, when he built all those castles and he had many powers.
Right.
And of course, he could ride the winds. So now, with having those genies under his power, some genies started teaching the people sorcery.
Right.
And then Quran says that once they started teaching the sorcery, it started dividing the families. So it was like a divide and rule.
Very good.
What happened, God said that we sent two angels named Harut and Marut in order to teach people that this sorcery is a test for you. So it's best not to do it if you like your society to stay intact.
Muhammad?
That's, yes.
Thank you so much for your call. I'm so sorry, but we are absolutely out of time, but I really do appreciate your call. Anything you ever wanted to know is produced by yours truly. Jeannie Mascora runs the board. Thank you, Jeannie. Fiona Norton, back answering the phones today. Thank you, Fiona. Assistant producer Brandilyn Barnett and our intern Emily Cox, thanks to both of you for your help today. You can get free episodes of the show. Download them at KERA.org. And, of course, send your questions, answers, comments, and suggestions to us at anything@KERA.org. I'm Jeff Whittington. Thanks again for listening, and have a fantastic weekend.